puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And the location of Abandoned Manitoba is right here on CBC Radio 1. Every Sunday at this time, we welcome Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, we are talking about location, so remind us of the clue.
Yeah, well, as realtors know, the three most important aspects about a property are location, location, location. And this week, we're discussing the relevance of this phrase to the mapping of historic places.
Good. Where do we start?
Well, longtime listeners may recall that this Abandoned Manitoba project started 14 years ago when I had trouble finding an abandoned bank vault near Deloraine. And I wondered at that time why someone was not out collecting GPS coordinates for such important historic sites. Well, that person ended up being me. Mm-hmm. And as of today, my helpers and I have acquired precise latitude and longitude coordinates for 8,610 places all over Manitoba.
Wow. I didn't expect such a huge number. What types of sites are included in these measurements?
Well, there are six categories of sites. Mm-hmm. Buildings, cemeteries, monuments, museums and archives, miscellaneous, and locations.
Locations is a separate category?
Yeah, you'd think, of course, that a building would have a location too, of course. But what I mean by the location is that if you were to go to the coordinates for that particular site, you would either find absolutely nothing, or maybe you'd just find the remains of what had been there in the past. The idea is that this category, location, preserves the information of things that used to be there.
Right. History of something that once existed here that is no longer around.
That's right. Excellent. My view is that this collection of coordinates, even for buildings that have been demolished, may have future benefits that I simply cannot anticipate now. So it's better to allow for that possibility. For example, midway between Deloraine and Boisevain is a location called Wabish. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to go to those coordinates, there's nothing there. But in 1884, it was the main commercial center in that region of Manitoba before the coming of the railway and the founding of other towns. If you were reading, let's say, the diary of a pioneer from that era, and they referred to Wabish, well, you might want to know where it was located.
It makes sense, So how many of these locations do you have mapped then?
Presently, our database of historic sites contains coordinates for 1,761 locations, and the total includes the former sites of 928 schools, 411 grain elevators, 331 commercial buildings, and 45 churches.
So how do you collect these coordinates for a site then?
Well, for those on a budget, you can get reasonably good coordinates straight from Google Earth, which is a free download. Most smartphones today have built-in GPS capability, and you can download a free app that will provide latitude and longitude numbers. If the GPS on your phone is turned on, those coordinates will be added automatically to every photo that you take with the phone, which can be very handy, for incidentally, when you forget where you took a particular photo. The phone will tell you where it took the photo.
Right.
But I've found that those smartphone coordinates are not especially accurate and in very extreme cases, maybe kilometers away from the true location. So to get accurate and precise GPS coordinates, you really should use a dedicated GPS receiver. And well, like a lot of other technology, the quality of the coordinates that those receivers provide is directly proportional to their cost. So I find that my receiver, which cost me about $300, can put me within a couple of meters of a site if I use its averaging function to measure the location repeatedly over a period of a few minutes, and then take the average of all those many individual measurements. Huh. Newer GPS receivers will get better results because they can use two satellite systems simultaneously, the GPS system that was developed by the United States and the GLONASS system from Russia, to better triangulate one's location.
Interesting. So if the thing that you're measuring the coordinates for is gone, how do you know where to take the measurements?
Well, sometimes there are remains that identify where the structure once stood. So, for example, frequently the concrete foundation for a school or a grain elevator is left behind when the building is moved elsewhere. Hmm. So in those cases, I simply stand on the foundation to take its coordinates. In other cases, there are signs of disturbance on the landscape, such as a lack of vegetation or conversely, an abundance of weeds that have grown quickly into the space where the building once stood. Or you can refer to aerial photographs that go back to the 1940s or to satellite images from the 1990s to see when and where a structure appears. So there was, for example, on the campus of the University of Manitoba, an Agriculture Canada building. It was demolished a few years ago, and someone asked me recently when exactly the demolition occurred. Well, using historical satellite images of the site that I was able to find in Google Earth, I was able to determine that the building came down between November of 2014 and March of 2015. In some cases, though, I know there may not be good aerial photos. Well, old maps are sometimes useful sources of location data. So, for instance, I have a set of federal government maps from the 1950s, and they show the locations of schools and churches that were existing at that time, many of which are now gone. The locations may not be especially accurate if determined from one of these maps, but frankly, they're better than nothing. And if all else fails, you know, we can sometimes refer to what we might call local knowledge. You know, you ask a resident of a particular community if they can point out where the church used to stand, for instance, and most people usually can.
Oh, so you do sometimes rely on info and having people tell you what they know. Are you open to them sending you coordinates that they might know about now?
Absolutely. The easiest way for them to send me those coordinates is to take a photo of it with a smartphone so I can extract the latitude and longitude from the photo. Otherwise, well, you know, coordinates can be measured using an app or a GPS receiver. I prefer, by the way, for the sake of avoiding transcription errors, to use decimal degrees rather than degrees, minutes, and seconds. I find that those other ones are just too prone to making mistakes.
Right.
Or sometimes you can use what's called universal transverse Mercator or UTM coordinates. They're good, and I can convert those easily to latitude and longitude. In rural areas, sometimes you have the river lot number, or you may have the section, township, and range numbers. They can be quite useful, but usually they can only get you to within about a half mile of the actual site. That might not be good enough in some areas. So if available, I definitely prefer to use latitude and longitude data.
You'd be a bit of a detective with all this as well.
Well, and it's a little technical, but, you know, I find after a little bit of practice, you can become quite adept at doing these measurements.
So how can people use these coordinates then to visit historic sites?
Well, the coordinates you can get from our database can be entered directly into the search box of a GPS mounted in a car into the search box of a map app on your smartphone. Mm-hmm. And essentially, then they will give you turn-by-turn instructions on how to get from your present location right to that historic site.
Very cool. It's an advanced version of orienteering, I guess.
Yeah, and it's basically geocaching for history.
Yeah, geocaching is the newest term for it as well. Very, very interesting, Gordon. Thank you for that. What's up for next week?
Well, 4 years ago, I visited the facility where the construction workers for Manitoba Hydro's new kiosk generating station were being accommodated. And I have to say, its luxurious amenities were a stark contrast to an abandoned construction camp near the Whiteshell Provincial Park. That contrast will be our subject next week.
Awesome. We'll be looking forward to that. We'll talk to you then.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.